From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for this episode of Korean Context. I'm Jenna Gibson, Director of Communications at the Korea Economic Institute in D.C., and I'm your host today. Last week, we hosted a great event here at KEI featuring Dr. Jeffrey Robertson of Australia National University and Yonsei University, who recently wrote a paper for us about South Korean foreign policy. In his paper and at the event, Dr. Robertson argued that South Korea suffers from a lack of continuity in their foreign policy. This essentially means that every time a new president takes office in Seoul, they scrap whatever the previous administration did and start from scratch, which means that any long-term goals and strategic planning become a lot harder to accomplish. I should mention, as an aside, that this paper and the event are part of KEI's academic paper series, which is one of the big programs we put on here throughout the year. Basically, APS commissions academics from around the world, like Dr. Robertson, to write a paper for KEI about issues on the Korean Peninsula. And we then bring them into our offices in DC to do a presentation about their findings. The goal of this program is to bridge the gap between the academic and policy communities when it comes to Korean studies. All of this is to say that if you are an academic who may be interested in participating, please check out our website, www.keia.org, for more information. In the fall, we will have a call for papers out for new proposals for next year, so please check back, and you can also sign up for our email updates on our website. Now, to get to the good stuff, I'm happy to have Dr. Robertson here with me to discuss some of his interesting findings on why South Korea suffers from a continuity problem in their foreign policy, and also what steps they can take to ameliorate this issue. So, Dr. Robertson, thank you so much for joining me here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
So, to start at the beginning, I found this really interesting when I was reading your paper. In the introduction, you start off by asking the question, why has South Korea been particularly challenged by foreign policy continuity? So it seems like a good place to start to ask you, why has South Korea been particularly challenged by foreign policy continuity? And why did you decide to write about it?
Well, I think a lot of people recognize that South Korea has some challenges regarding continuity of governance and administration. And a lot of people have written about this before regarding South Korea's continuity of governance and administration, but nobody's really looked at it in the context of foreign policy. And I think when you think about it more in the context of foreign policy, you see that in the past there's been some really good policies that have been left by the wayside with the change of administration. So I first decided to write about it in the context of green growth. Green growth is one area that South Korea pursued during the Im Myung-bak administration, and it set up South Korea as very much a leading country in the context of green growth. But it didn't run on to the next administration, and the failure to continue this idea of green growth, you know, was a loss for South Korea.
One of the major themes or trends that we've seen in the last year or so that people have been talking about constantly is the fact that around the world, we're seeing a lot of people wanting to break with institution and try something completely different. So here in the United States, for example, President Donald Trump was elected partially because he was completely outside the political establishment and he really wanted to shake things up. That really resonated with people. We also saw Brexit and several other examples around the world. So how do you think continuity, particularly in foreign policy, but just in general as well, how do you think continuity can be sustained in an environment like this? And I guess to play devil's advocate, couldn't it sometimes be a good thing that people are willing to throw out the rule book and try something totally new, even if it means breaking with the previous policies that have been in place?
Yeah, I mean, policy continuity doesn't mean that you don't have innovation. In fact, policy continuity can mean you have better innovation and newer and better ideas. So If you have, for example, a strengthened bureaucracy, which allows a greater degree of policy continuity, within that strengthened bureaucracy, you can for certain have an Office of Innovation, which looks at trends around the globe or looks at changes underway and is able to come up with new ideas to address, you know, challenges. Yeah, certainly. And I think a lot of people have questioned whether the current institutions we have are able to deal with the changing circumstances. But, you know, strengthened bureaucracy and stronger foreign policy continuity doesn't mean that you can't address change and innovation.
So one of the big examples or themes that you discussed heavily in your paper and in your presentation was the Green Growth Initiative in South Korea. Basically, President Lee Myung-bak, this is a big thing for him, and he put a lot of time and effort into trying to get Korea to be a leader in green growth around the world. And he had this Green Growth Initiative that more or less died out after he left office. And this was one of your main examples for how Korea fails to continue possibly good policies once a new president takes office. So besides the Green Growth Initiative, can you give us some examples of a place or a time when continuity would have been really helpful but was not achieved in South Korea?
Well, there's one example which is ongoing, and I'm hopeful that it will have a degree of continuity, and that's MICTA, the Organization of Middle Powers of Mexico, Indonesia, Korea, Turkey, Australia. You know, the idea of bringing together middle powers to talk about a range of different issues of global governance is a very good idea, and I'm hoping that it will continue into the next administration. But because the whole concept of being a middle power is so tied to the Park Geun-hye administration, there is a potential that the next administration will seek to distance itself from the idea of being a middle power and promoting middle power initiatives and promoting MICTA. So I'm hopeful that there will be a degree of continuity which could continue into the next administration. But, you know, without the structures in place to maintain continuity, we could be seeing the end of MICTA, and that would be a loss.
So being that you're from Australia, it makes a lot of sense that you use Australia as a comparison to show an example of a successful middle power diplomacy, which is more or less what Korea says that they're trying to go for. So that's a pretty good example. So can you talk a little bit more about that example, about what Australia has done well and what lessons could be drawn from Korea as they try to find a more continuous foreign policy?
One thing that I think that Australia does really well is its public service. The public service in Australia has no qualms about, you know, presenting frank and fearless advice to their leadership. And this is a strength that means that any leadership excesses are, you know, slowly but steadily run down and weakened. So if you think of South Korea's recent Park Geun-hye administration, where there was a lot of concern regarding an imperial presidency, a president which would, you know, come up with an idea and the public service would just have to do it straight away. You know, that doesn't happen when you've got a strengthened bureaucracy, because the bureaucracy will just say to the president, no, this is not a good idea. And, you know, having a frank and fearless advice is important for good governance.
So we, of course, are following this very closely. There is a big presidential election coming up in South Korea, and that makes foreign policy continuity a particularly timely issue. So we have really good timing on that. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what suggestions would you recommend for the next president to improve on this continuity problem for South Korea? And to follow up on that, do you actually think it's feasible or likely that the next administration will tackle this issue? Is this even on their radar? Are you seeing any signs that the candidates may keep some policies from the previous administration, for example? What is your take on the upcoming election and what that could mean for foreign policy continuity in South Korea going forward?
I think this idea of foreign policy continuity flies under the radar very much at the moment. Nobody's looking at it whatsoever. You know, if the Nixon administration, if I could give any advice to them, I would put it down to three different areas of change. One would be strengthening the ability of the legislature to undertake research on foreign policy. So that means strengthening the National Assembly Research Service. Secondly, I would argue for a strengthened bureaucracy. And that means less political appointments within the foreign ministry and potentially also increased research capacity for the foreign ministry through the Institute of Foreign Affairs and National Security or the Korea National Diplomatic Academy. Strengthening those two organizations would aid in continuity.
So as you've laid out, there are some things that can be done within the current system to improve things, to make things a little bit easier, to make it a little bit more likely that a successive administration will keep some of the successful policies of the previous president. But in your paper, you talk a lot about some possible changes that are pretty high level. These are some major structural issues that you're pointing out, even to the point where you talk about the possible need for constitutional reform to deal with some of the structural issues, not just in foreign policy continuity, but also continuity of policy in general. I'm wondering, is it important and also is it likely that we will see changes on the level of constitutional reform in the near future?
Ultimately, the perfect antidote to the lack of continuity would be constitutional reform. If that were to occur, then immediately you'd have better continuity in foreign policy. Having a two-term administration means that there's just more time for an administration to be forward-thinking and to look for policy initiatives which can be implemented over two terms. It's the ultimate antidote. But whether that's even possible in South Korea, given the political situation, well, I think it's going to be distant.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for all your insights. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me. I really do, once again, want to plug our academic paper series. Please do find out more information if you're interested in participating, or if you just want to read some of the great papers that we've had, including Dr. Robertson's paper. They're all online in PDF form. The website is keia.org. So Dr. Robertson, thank you again for taking the time to sit down with me for the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone, once again for joining me here on Korean Context. I hope you learned something. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're getting your podcasts. They are also available on our website, as is all of our other great research and blogs, event videos, all kinds of things. You'll find everything you need to know about Korea on that website. So do check it out. And definitely come back next week for another great episode.